Good morning and welcome to St. Luke's Church. Thank you for gathering with us today to make Eucharist.
As you are able, please stand and join us in singing hymn number 152, as found in either your bulletin or the blue hymnal.
Blessed be the God of our salvation. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you know that we have no power in ourselves to help ourselves. Keep us both outwardly in our bodies and inwardly in our souls, that we may be defended from all adversities which may happen to the body, and from all evil thoughts which may assault and hurt the soul. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Exodus. God spoke all these words to Moses on Mount Sinai. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing children for the iniquity of parents to the third and the fourth generation of those who reject me, but showing steadfast love to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work. You, your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, but rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. Honor your father and your mother so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or male or female slave, or ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
A reading from the letter of Paul to the Corinthians. The message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided, through the foolishness of our proclamation, to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs, and Greeks desire wisdom. But we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles, but to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. The word of the Lord.
Let us attend to the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers were seated at their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and will you raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
It's mid-Lent. It's the third week of Lent. And the question that our readings present us today is, how are you doing at feeling wonder? How are you doing at feeling wonder? And that may seem a very counterintuitive question for Lent. It may seem odd to us. We may think of Lent as a time where questions are, how are you doing keeping your Lenten discipline? And have you been keeping the rules and keeping the fast and doing extra almsgiving or good deeds and all other kinds of questions? But really, the root question is, how are you doing at wonder? How are you doing feeling wonder? I've said to you many times before, my teacher, Vicky, is a Psalms scholar. And I didn't pick up that trait. That's not my best area of study. But I did learn from her that Psalm 19 is probably my favorite psalm. And look at Psalm 19, because it is, take your bulletin out and look at it, because it is about wonder. And it actually presents a fascinating understanding of wonder and the role of wonder in the spiritual life. It starts, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork." And we can read that sentence and we can think, as I did for many years, we're supposed to look at creation and know that God made the world, and that somehow creation is a reminder of the doctrine of God as creator. But the psalm doesn't let us stay there. The psalm does not let us stay there. It pushes. It pushes because the very next line, "One day tells its tale to another, and one night imparts knowledge to another." Okay, so now we have days and nights talking. This is not exactly what I was expecting, right? What does that mean? What is that about? Why are days and nights talking? And so we might keep reading, hoping for some clarity. "Although they have no words or language, and their voices are not heard, their sound has gone out into all the lands, and their message to the ends of the world." What? What? What is that? What's that about? And we begin to realize, as we look at those verses, that they only begin to make sense when you realize that God's word is always a creative word. And that in some sense, because God's word is a creative word, creation itself is God's speech. And it may not be words or language like we understand words or language, but the idea is that because God speaks creation into being, remember Genesis 1, right? And we're not talking science here. This is not about science. It's about poetry. So remember Genesis 1, God speaks creation into being. So in a way, you could assert that all of creation is the creative word of God. That creation results from, and in fact probably is itself, divine speech. So then, the heavens declare the glory of God because they're God's speech. The firmament shows his handiwork because they're God's speech. They tell tales to one another because God is still speaking. Their sound goes everywhere because God is the God of everywhere. So we get this sense of wonder and of the nearness of God. We're so close to God, and God, more importantly, God is so close to us that we're surrounded by the divine speech. That will fill you with wonder. And it goes on, right? So then we get this wonderful image. In the deep, he has set a pavilion for the sun. It comes forth like a bridegroom out of his chamber. It rejoices like a champion to run his course. In the ancient world, it was a common belief that the sun slept in a special pavilion or chamber or temple at the bottom of the ocean at night and came out and ran its course during the day, right? So the psalmist takes that familiar idea and makes it even more special. The sun doesn't just come out and run its course. The sun comes out like a bridegroom from his chamber, right? And rejoices to run its course like a champion. Wonder. Awe. Goes forth from the uttermost edge of the heaven and runs about to the end of it again. Nothing is hidden from its burning. The sun as part of the speech of God that goes everywhere, exuberantly, triumphantly, like a champion. It's beautiful imagery, and it's imagery and poetry that calls us to wonder at the nearness of God, calls us to wonder at the creativity of God, calls us to wonder at our place in creation. It's a beautiful, powerful text. And then the psalmist goes on, and this is where it gets really interesting, right? The psalmist goes on and says to us, essentially, in the whole next section, the psalmist says to us, essentially, wonder is the right starting point for all your religious disciplines. Wonder is the right starting point for all your religious disciplines. Now, I've told you before, it's not about being good so daddy will love you. Right? That's not a religion, that's a dysfunctional family. It's not about that. But wonder is what the psalmist is proclaiming as the basis for our religious practice. Because we are filled with wonder, there are things we do. And we do them because we are filled with wonder, and because by doing them, we have even more wonder. So the psalmist says, "The law of the Lord is perfect and revives the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure and gives wisdom to the innocent. The statutes of the Lord are just and rejoice the heart. The commandment of the Lord is clear and gives light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean and endures forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether." These are all, here's a religious discipline, and here is why it's full of wonder. And why the discipline can open our hearts even further to more wonder. We know this. Think for a minute of the times when you've decided, well, in this situation, this is the right thing to do. I don't believe it'll work, but I'm going to do it because it's the right thing to do. And you do the right thing in that, whatever that situation is. And then you're amazed at how well it works. Right? We've all had that experience. That's wisdom. That's the testimony of the Lord giving wisdom to the innocent. We've all had that experience, and we can dismiss it as coincidence or luck, or we can feel wonder at how we have received a little bit of wisdom in that situation. That's why wonder is important. That's why wonder is the beginning point of it all. It opens our heart to each other and to God. It fills us with joy, and it makes the religious practices that we do have meaning in the very openness of our heart to the wonder that we experience. On top of that is all the other good things that happen. Peacemaking and justice and righteousness and all the rest of it. It all flows from a lively sense of wonder. By them also is your servant enlightened, says verse 11. And in keeping them there is great reward. The reward in particular is more wonder. Now, it also happens, right, as we engage in a greater sense of wonder in our lives, and as we open our hearts to God's work in our lives and to other people in our lives, when we do that, we run the risk of realizing that God is so much bigger than we are. And we run the risk of realizing that, oh gee, in this situation I may be full of wonder, but I don't know what to do. Or we run the risk of realizing, boy, have I screwed that up in life before? Right? And the psalmist gets that in the last section, right? He's proclaimed the value of wonder and seen it in creation. And he's proclaimed the value of wonder as the starting point for our religious practices. And in doing that, the psalmist has said how close God is to us. And in realizing how close God is to us, the psalmist suddenly has this startling realization. Wow. Who can tell how often he offends? Let's get real. Half the time I don't know the good that I've done, let alone the stupid things I've done, right? We all do that. We all do more good than we realize, and we all do more bad than we realize, too. And the psalmist understands, and the thing that fills the psalmist with wonder in that incident is that God is still there, and still loving, and still forgiving, and still blessing. Cleanse me from my secret faults. Secret to me. Cleanse me from the things I don't realize I'm doing. Keep your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not get dominion over me, so I'll be sound and whole and innocent of a great offense. In other words, God helps us in our religious project. In the development of our own souls, God helps us. This is really, really important. How many times have I worked with people, talked to people, noticed it in myself, that we read something like verses 12 to 14, and we think, oh, well, this is the, you know, more of that downer religious stuff. It just says I'm bad, I'm no good, I've never been any good, I never will be any good, gee darn, thanks. Okay? We need to let go of that cynical reading. What's filling the psalmist with wonder is, no matter how much I mess up, God is still nearby. And God is still loving me, and God is still helping me, and God is still forgiving me, and cleansing me, and promoting me. That's what this text is about. Far too often, we get caught up in the exact opposite of wonder. Our judgments, our criticisms, our crankiness. And you know what? Not just at other people. The worst one is that inner voice where we're judgmental about ourselves. Wonder invites us to an open heart. Wonder invites us to be amazed at the presence of God here in our life. Wonder is a great spiritual discipline. And it's the root of all the spiritual disciplines. And it's very easy for us to forget that. But you may be, maybe you've chosen a Lenten discipline and it's going well. I invite you to be in wonder that God has helped you to do that discipline. Or you may have chosen a Lenten discipline and it's going really badly. And I invite you to be in wonder of the fact that God is still there and still loves you and is still encouraging and helping you, even if you can't do it. And maybe you just didn't get around to picking a Lenten discipline this Lent. And yet you find something going on inside of you. Something's moving, something's changing. Be in wonder about that. Because wonder is the root of all of our spiritual and religious practices. When Paul writes to the Corinthian community, he is writing to a group of people who've gotten into debates about their spiritual pedigree. Well, you know, I know more than you because I saw Jesus when he was alive. No, I know more than you because Apollos baptized me, and he was a better teacher than the guy who baptized you. I know more than you, blah, 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 blah. The problem with that kind of judgmental, competitive thought is that it is completely closed to wonder. And so Paul talks about the foolishness of the cross. And when he talks about the foolishness of the cross, he is not simply laying out his theological analysis of how Christ saved us on the cross. That's not what he's doing. He's inviting the Corinthians to wonder. Look at how low God in Christ went, all the way to betrayal and death, just for you. Be filled with wonder. Be filled with wonder. Not only that, but the word that Paul uses, scandalon in Greek, which is the root of our word scandal, actually has in the first century more of a sense of moronic. Right? Imagine saying that to somebody today. Look at how God used the moronic to save us. Wow, right? That's startling. But in the startling imagery, again, we are invited to wonder at the extent to which God would go to love us. And it's the wonder that undoes the judgmental and competitive thinking. The same thing is true in the story in John of cleansing the temple. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the cleansing of the temple happens at the end of Jesus' ministry, and it's kind of the last straw for the leaders and leads them to decide then and there, he's got to go. And in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, when Jesus cleanses the temple, he cleanses it with a critique specifically about cheating people. But in John, it's different. In John's gospel, the cleansing of the temple happens at the beginning of his ministry. And it's an invitation to wonder. Jesus is upset because the market conditions of selling animals in the temple, which were necessary, had taken over. And what was lost in that process was the sense of wonder. You're supposed to go to the temple and feel a sense of wonder. You're supposed to go to the temple and feel you're participating in something bigger than you. You're not supposed to go to the temple to quibble over the price of an unblemished lamb or two turtle doves. And that's why Jesus says, "Stop making my Father's house a marketplace. Not because there's anything wrong with the marketplace, but in the temple, you're supposed to feel wonder. And when you're in the market, it's harder to feel wonder. And when they ask him for a sign, he says, well, the sign is me. Get to know me and destroy the temple and I'll build it in 3 days. You get to encounter God in me. You get to feel wonder encountering me if you're open to the possibility. It's about wonder. It's about wonder as the starting point for all our best religious drives and practices. And so it's mid-Lent. And the question I invite you to think about, how are you doing at feeling wonder?
As you are able, please stand and face east, the direction of sunrise and a symbol of the resurrection, as we recite the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit, and Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Christ revealed our frailty and our falling, our trespasses and our humiliations.
Christ also revealed his blessed power, his blessed wisdom and love.
He protects us tenderly and sweetly when we are in greatest need.
He raises us in spirit and turns everything into glory and joy without end.
We pray for all who are sick, addicted, or suffering in any way.
Remembering especially Todd, Brad, Sue, Jeff, Stephen, Ken, Ruthie, Ken, Linda, Patrick, Jessica, Tom, Maggie, Harold, Rusty, Ann, Harold, Donald, Cecil, George, Hope, Kathleen, Dan, Ron, Charlotte, as well as all those who have died, especially Robert.
Christ, who came in our poor flesh, we ask you to hear them for our health and salvation.
God is the ground and the substance, the very essence of nature.
God is the true father and mother of natures.
We are all bound to God by nature, and we are all bound to God by grace.
We pray for the church and the world.
Remembering especially Michael, our presiding bishop, Wayne, our bishop, Randall, our priest, Greg, our deacon, Michael, and deacon's formation. We pray for the forgiveness of our sins and the renewal of our ministries. We pray for all who work for justice and peace and ask for the protection of all who serve in our armed forces, especially Matthew, Sarah, Stephen, Andrew, Courtney, Joseph, James, and Nathan.
Christ carried us within him in love and travail until the full time of his passion.
All our labor of Christ is redeemed in truly loving God and serving others in the power of his wonderful love.
The love of Christ works in us.
Christ is the one whom we love.
The grace of our precious Mother Christ is for all the world.
Angel was prepared by Christ for the honor and nobility of all.
We pray for the welfare of the nations and all people.
Remembering Donald, our president, and the legislative and judicial branches of our government. We also rejoice with those celebrating birthdays, Deborah, Oscar, Gordon, Evergale, Margaret, Ethan, Ruthie, Michael, Charles, Giff, Mark, John, Jason, and those celebrating baptismal anniversaries, Jim, Kay, Mary, Sarah, Joseph, Jeffrey, Janet, and those celebrating wedding anniversaries this week.
Christ, you clothe us in your love.
And prepare us for the joy and bliss of salvation.
Lord God, who in your compassion granted to the Lady Julian many revelations of your nurturing and sustaining love, move our hearts like hers to seek you above all things, for in giving us yourself, you give us all. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God, our neighbors, and ourselves. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you.
Almighty God, have mercy on us, forgive us all our sins through the grace of Jesus Christ, confirm us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in everlasting life. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Offer to God a sacrifice of praise, that is the fruit of lips that acknowledge the divine name, but do not forget to do good and to share what you have, for such offerings are pleasing to God. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
God of all power, ruler of the universe, you are worthy of glory and praise.
Glory to you forever and ever.
At your command, all things came to be. The vast expanse of interstellar space, galaxies, suns, the planets in their courses, and this fragile Earth, our island home.
By your will, they were created and have their being.
From the primal elements, you brought forth the human race and blessed us with memory, reason, and skill. You made us the rulers of creation, but we turned against you and betrayed your trust, and we turned against one another.
Have mercy, Lord, for we are sinners in your sight.
Again and again you called us to return. Through prophets and sages you revealed your righteous law. And in the fullness of time you sent your only Son, born of a woman, to fulfill your law, to open for us the way of freedom and peace.
By his blood he reconciled us. By his wounds we are healed.
And therefore we praise you, joining with the heavenly chorus, with prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and with all those in every generation who have looked to you in hope, to proclaim with them your glory in their unending hymn. And so, Father, we who have been redeemed by him and made a new people by water and the Spirit now bring before you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord. On the night he was betrayed, he took bread, said the blessing, broke the bread and gave it to his friends and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, gave thanks, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering now his work of redemption and offering to you this sacrifice of thanksgiving,
we celebrate his death and resurrection as we await the day of his coming.
Lord God of our ancestors, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God of Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah, Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, and Mary, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, open our eyes to see your hand at work in the world about us. Deliver us from the presumption of coming to this table for solace only and not for strength, for pardon only and not for renewal. Let the grace of this holy communion make us one body, one spirit in Christ, that we may worthily serve the world in his name.
Risen Lord, be known to us in the breaking of bread.
Accept these prayers and praises, Father, through Jesus Christ, our great High Priest, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit, your church gives honor, glory, and worship from generation to generation. Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Gifts of God to the people of God.
Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and for assuring us in these holy mysteries that we are living members of the body of your Son and heirs of your eternal kingdom. And now, Father, send us out to do the work you have given us to do, to love and serve you as faithful witnesses of Christ our Lord. To him, to you, and to the Holy Spirit, be honor and glory, now and forever. Amen.
Please be seated.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome. Thank you for being here today. I want to say a special thank you to all the folks who helped yesterday. We hosted... Look mercifully on this, your family, Almighty God, that by your great goodness they may be governed and preserved evermore. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Wasn't that wonderful? Yeah, good to see you.
Good to see you too.
Sore hand?
Oh, arthritis in this thumb. It's awful.
Yeah.
Yeah.